Coming up on this episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
There's a strong connection between Hashimoto's and gluten. Mm-hmm. That a large number of patients that have Hashis also have genes that make them more predisposed to gluten sensitivity and celiac disease.
Hey everyone, it's Dr. Mark. My main goal with diet is to use food as medicine. But even when we eat super well, most of us are missing out on certain essential nutrients. Our soils have become depleted and our digestive tracts just aren't working so great. They're compromised by stress and toxins and they just can't absorb nutrients as efficiently as they should. And that's why I always used, and I recommend to my patients, a multivitamin and mineral as nutritional insurance. It covers the basics for all our day-to-day body functions, all the things that we need that our food might be missing. But there are so many products out there I wouldn't go near because they contain artificial fillers or inactive ingredients, and you have to be pretty picky. The one I trust and take myself is Athletic Greens. They use high-quality, highly absorbable forms of vitamins and nutrients from real whole foods. Athletic Greens comes in a powder that tastes great and mixes easily with water or smoothies and specifically supports my gut health, immunity, energy, and recovery. And it's not just vitamins and minerals. It has phytonutrient-rich superfoods and adaptogens and pre- and probiotics and even digestive enzymes. I love that they add the digestive support in their powder since so much of our immune strength and overall wellness starts in the gut. It's really one supplement that covers so many bases, and you'd be hard-pressed to find something else in this comprehensive form in any single other product. I use Athletic Greens in the morning as part of my daily routine, and I love having it with me whenever I travel. I also love that it's diet-friendly, whether you're vegan, paleo, keto, dairy-free, or gluten-free. Right now, Athletic Greens is offering my audience a full year supply of their vitamin D3 K2 liquid formula free with your first purchase. Now, these two nutrients are also so vital for a strong immune system and strong bones, and many of us are not getting enough of them. I use the Athletic Greens powder and their D3 K2 formula to make sure I get extra nutrients that complement my diet. They're also going to give you 5 free travel packs as well. Just go to athleticgreens.com/Hyman to get your free year supply of vitamin D3 and K2 and 5 free travel packs with your first purchase. You'll get it delivered straight to your door, and I promise you'll feel the difference Athletic Greens can make in your daily wellness routine. Again, that's athleticgreens.com/Hyman.
I know a lot of you out there are practitioners like me, helping patients heal using real food and functional medicine as your framework for getting to the root cause. What's critical to understanding what each individual person and body needs is testing, which is why I'm excited to tell you about Rupa Health. Looking at hormones, organic acids, nutrient levels, inflammatory factors, gut bacteria, and so many other internal variables can help us find the most effective path to optimize health and reverse disease. But up till now, that meant you are usually ordering tests for one patient from multiple labs. And I'm sure many of you can relate how time-consuming this process was, and then it could all feel like a lot of work to keep track of. Now there's Rupa Health, a place for functional medicine practitioners to access more than 2,000 specialty labs from over 20 labs like Dutch, Vibrant America, Genova, Great Plains, and more. Rupa Health helps provide a significantly better patient experience, and it's 90% faster, letting you simplify the entire process of getting the functional medicine lab tests you need and giving you more time to focus on patients. This is really a much needed option in functional medicine space, and I'm so excited about it. It means better service for you and your patients. You can check it out and look at a free live demo with a Q&A or create an account at rupahealth.com. That's rupahealth.com. Now let's get back to this week's episode of The Doctor's Pharmacy.
Welcome to the Doctor's Pharmacy. I'm Dr. Mark Hyman, and that's pharmacy with an F, F-A-R-M-A-C-Y, a place for conversations that matter. And if you've struggled with low thyroid, which, by the way, affects 1 in 5 women and 1 in 10 men, this conversation is going to matter to you. And we're lucky to have my colleague, my friend, Dr. George Papanicolaou from the Ultra Wellness Center here in Lenox, Massachusetts, to talk about this very common and often very poorly treated condition. Welcome.
Well, Mark, thanks for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Okay, so let's get into it. We're going to talk today about a very specific kind of thyroid dysfunction, which is probably the most common type of thyroid dysfunction, called Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Now, That is an autoimmune disease that gets treated in a way that really isn't that great for most of the people because they don't feel that great even if they're treated by the traditional endocrinologist. So
no.
First, what is Hashimoto's? Sounds like some kind of Japanese dish. and what is the consequences of that for people who have it? And how do we approach it?
Yeah, so as you said, it affects a vast number of people in our country. 27 million Americans have thyroid dysfunction, and 12% more are likely to get it every year. Hashimoto's is the most common cause of that dysfunction, particularly hypothyroidism. And Hashimoto's is an autoimmune process. What is autoimmunity? It's when your body's immune system starts making antibodies against your own tissue. And in this particular case, it's the thyroid.
And this is the most common autoimmune disease in America, right?
It is. It is.
And we don't really treat it as an autoimmune disease.
No, we treat it as hypothyroidism.
Right.
So and there are probably many women, and we speak mostly about women because they make up a large number of the patients we see with Hashimoto's. So, and a large number of these women do not feel better when they're treated, and they get diagnosed with hypothyroidism without ever being tested for Hashimoto's.
Hmm.
And the reason being is I think the big disconnect in conventional medicine. And that is that it's seen as a thyroid condition.
Yeah.
And it's really an autoimmune condition that affects the thyroid.
Yeah.
And in that setting, with that mindset and that paradigm, the thought is, well, it doesn't really matter where the hypothyroidism comes from because the belief is that there's nothing to impact that immune response against the thyroid. We just, in conventional medicine, you just sort of let that immune response continue flaming until the thyroid is burnt out.
Yeah.
And then the person is on whatever dose of thyroid medication will get their thyroid number, their TSH, into the normal range.
Yeah.
And then that's considered good medicine.
Yeah.
One problem.
There's
a lot
that?
Of women running around with a normal TSH that still feel like crap.
That's right. So a lot of people
there's something going on.
Are diagnosed. By the way, half of people with low thyroid are not diagnosed.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. So that's a problem in and of itself. And if you're talking about 20% of women, it's a lot of people.
Oh,
and
yeah.
10% of men, it's a lot of people. That's one problem. The second problem is, like you said, we treat it by just giving people thyroid replacement without actually dealing with the root cause of why their thyroid isn't working in the first place. And it's like the same way we treat all other autoimmune disease, which is we say, oh, there's inflammation. Let's give you an anti-inflammatory drug, right? Whether it's Advil or steroids or chemotherapy drugs or immune suppressants that are super powerful and cause cancer and overwhelming infection and death in many people. Like, we don't go, what's the cause of the inflammation? So, George, with Hashimoto's, which is, again, so common, what causes the autoimmune disease in hypothyroidism, in this particular kind of autoimmune disease?
There are thought that, you know, there's no clear understanding of the exact mechanisms that cause the immune system to go awry. There are some theories, and there are some associated conditions. One of the strong thoughts is that I should go back. I want to get this in a more clear model. Autoimmune diseases tend to cluster. If you have one, you're much more likely to have another. The reason why Hashi's is most prevalent is that there's a strong connection between Hashimoto's and gluten.
Mm-hmm.
That a large number of patients that have Hashi's also have genes that make them more predisposed to gluten sensitivity and celiac disease. Gluten, therefore, is seen as a pretty strong trigger to Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
Now, I would say if you're thinking about what's the one thing that you can do if you think you have Hashi's, go gluten-free.
Or check your antibodies.
Right, or check your antibodies.
And I've checked antibodies for years on these patients because I think this is a pretty well-established
connection.
Phenomenon in the literature.
Yeah.
It's not like You can go on PubMed, which is the National Library of Medicine, look it up, Hashimoto's gluten. You'll come up with plenty of articles. And yet your traditional endocrinologists don't even look at it. And I check antibodies on every patient with hypothyroidism with Hashimoto's. And about 30% of the people have some level of antibodies. They might not have celiac, but they have some level. And so tell us, why is gluten so connected to autoimmune disease?
Gluten is very similar so what gluten can do is it can trigger something called leaky gut. But in most cases, I would say that a person who develops thyroid disorder, particularly Hashimoto's, probably already has a disordered gut, probably already is experiencing some amount of dysbiosis or imbalance in their gut microbiome, and therefore experiencing some level of inflammation in their gut. And if you have that inflammation, then you're already going to be disturbing the permeable membrane that's responsible. It's the gatekeeping system for nutrients to go in and for toxins and for the bad guys to be kept out. That's probably already disrupted. Gluten, which is very prevalent in our processed foods, does one more thing. It triggers something called zonulin, which is the gatekeeper. Zonulin is the compound that's responsible for opening and closing the gates that allow good nutrients and compounds to enter in, and then closes to make sure we keep out bacteria, viruses, and toxins.
That's right. And I think with when you start to create leaky gut with the gluten, it creates inflammation throughout the body, and it can attack different organs. And some people can get rheumatoid arthritis, some people get psoriasis, some people get Hashimoto's thyroiditis.
Because when gluten enters in, there's the leaky gut. Now the immune system sees it as a foreigner, and it begins making antibodies against it. Unfortunately, those antibodies are also made against the thyroid because the gluten structure is very similar to the thyroid. So you get this sort of molecular mimicry that causes the immune system to become confused, and now it's making antibodies against your thyroid.
And studies have shown that people with Hashimoto's, when they cut out gluten, their thyroid antibodies come down. Their autoimmunity gets less.
Absolutely. And I would also, in regards to the testing and looking particularly at something called thyroid peroxidase antibody, because that's the antibody that's made. It's made against this enzyme that the thyroid makes. It's responsible for making thyroid hormone. It can also make an antibody against thyroglobulin, which is another compound that the thyroid makes that is also responsible for making thyroid hormone. When you test them, if it's positive, that's great. But it's also possible that you'll get false negatives. And that commonly, and if I really think a person has Hashi's, they're displaying all the signs and symptoms, then I will retest them. And I might even do it after a gluten challenge. If a patient has been gluten-free, I will do that just to make sure we confirm the diagnosis.
Yeah, so it's really important to think about all the factors that cause autoimmunity, because it could be gluten. That's the most common. Right. But in functional medicine, we don't just look at one thing. We look at all the triggers, and there's a lot. There's a lot of things that cause inflammation in autoimmunity. So can you take us down the road of what are some of the other big ones?
Well, I would say this is a more complicated one to bring up, but pregnancy. So a lot of the patients that come to me with thyroid dysfunction come after pregnancy, or they come years after pregnancy and they say, it was after I delivered my first child, it was 8 months later that I developed Hashimoto's thyroiditis. Now, there are different thyroiditises that you can develop, but Hashi's can occur after pregnancy. And it is. The mechanisms that are there are largely immune dysfunction. They're related to immune dysfunction. There's large spikes and drops in estrogen that's been linked to the triggering of the immune dysfunction that leads to Hashi's. And there's also this idea that when a woman has a child in utero, you have to suppress your immune system. And after the baby is born, you get an immune rebound. And this results in a dysfunction or imbalance in an appropriate immune response, and you develop antibodies against the thyroid.
No, I'm going to say, there's also other things, that we're learning about. And the thyroid is sort of like the canary in the coal mine.
Right.
It's one of the most sensitive organs. It's a gland that regulates our metabolism and our mood and our sexual function and our you know, weight and our muscle mass and skin health and hair health. I mean, so we'll go over some of the symptoms that people can have. But
triggered by mercury, you know, toxins, heavy metals.
Yeah. So,
so we can't ignore those.
Exactly. So what's happening is that there's this incredible flood of environmental chemicals that we've been exposed to, that our toxic load is so high, and mercury and heavy metals and many others interfere with thyroid function. And they're known as autogens, like antigens, but they're autogens. They cause autoimmune disease. And these environmental toxins have really been well documented to do this. And yet, and most doctors who are endocrinologists will not check for your level of toxic load or a level of mercury, and they don't treat that. And that's what we do in functional medicines. We look for some of these underlying causes. So it can be gluten. It can be leaky gut. It can be the environmental toxins. It can be heavy metals. It can be other
viruses.
You know,
it can be reactivated viruses. It can be stress related. The stress has a huge impact on all of the endothelial linings, particularly the gut and the brain, and can cause leaking of the gut and brain, which will then trigger an autoimmune condition.
Exactly. And so the question is, you know, from a functional medicine perspective, we don't just say, oh, you have low thyroid, take thyroid. We go, you know, what is happening in terms of the causes, and then how do we address those directly, whether it's gluten or heavy metals or whatever, and then how do we help the thyroid work better? And you know, in traditional medicines, like once you have thyroid issues, you don't bother trying to think about reversing it or stopping it. And particularly if you get it early, you can actually reverse and get the antibodies down.
Yeah, and I think it's really important. And what I said earlier is that hypothyroidism, particularly Hashimoto's thyroiditis, is a body problem. It's a systemic problem that affects the thyroid.
Right.
And that's how I approach it when somebody comes to me, because even if I get their antibodies down, you know, that will have an impact. That will actually allow their thyroid to function better, because now it's not under this assault, under this attack. But there are other organ systems that impact the thyroid. And so when you have a woman that comes in and she's got three kids and she has lots of stress, when she's having hormonal imbalances, you're now talking about the adrenal gland being involved and cortisol being involved. You're talking about estrogen and progesterone balance. You're talking about high levels of testosterone if that woman tends to have PCOS.
Or that's polycystic ovarian syndrome, right?
Right. And if we don't address those along with the thyroid, then they're never going to feel better.
It's sort of a comprehensive approach.
Absolutely.
It's a comprehensive approach. And we don't look at all the factors. We don't look at other hormones like sex hormones, adrenal hormones. I mean, if your adrenals are shot from chronic stress, your thyroid's not going to work properly. And if you take too much thyroid or the right amount of thyroid, your body might feel like you had too much, because your adrenals can't keep up and aren't working. So you have to deal with all of it. You have to deal with the gut. You have to deal with leaky gut.
Yeah.
You have to deal with nutrition. I mean, there are some key nutritional deficiencies that are linked to low thyroid function. Can you go through what those are?
Well, one of the, you know, so what's, it's interesting. The first thing that people will think of is iodine, but you know, iodine isn't necessarily the problem. I just want to bring that one up right away, because iodine can be somewhat controversial. There have actually been studies in China that showed that people with lower iodine or deficient iodine levels actually have less thyroid disease and Hashimoto's than those that have higher iodine levels. But other ones that that would be involved would be vitamin D. Vitamin D plays an important role in thyroid function. Selenium plays a very important role in thyroid function, as does zinc and magnesium.
Mm-hmm, absolutely. And selenium is, for example, necessary to convert T4 to T3, which is the active hormone. Right. And we need, for example, vitamin D to help bind the thyroid hormone at the nucleus to have the effect on gene transcription. So these are all critical steps. So iodine, zinc, selenium,
and
omega-3 fats, vitamin D.
And when I test patients, I will routinely test them for selenium levels and vitamin D levels. And I can tell you that 8 out of 10 women are deficient in vitamin D and low in selenium, and that definitely becomes part of the equation. I would say that, you know, for our listeners, that if you're a woman or a man who is being treated for hypothyroidism and has never felt well, on their thyroid medication, despite getting their TSH level into the normal range. Now, for some doctors, that they may still be going by the archaic value of, you know, 4.45 to 4.5 and not the functional value of, you know, 1.5 to 2.5.
Yeah.
So, you know, you might not even be looked at in the right range. If you're one of those people, then this is the conversation, because there's so much more to be looked at. Is targeted nutrients that you've just mentioned.
I mean, selenium can drop your thyroid antibody levels.
Yes,
just
absolutely.
Like getting off of gluten.
Yeah.
And reduce the autoimmunity.
Yeah.
So these are all important things, and there are foods that contain these things. So there's like thyroid boosting foods, right? We have selenium, which is in fish and Brazil nuts. You have zinc, which is in pumpkin seeds and oysters. You have omega-3 fats, which are in fatty fish. You have vitamin D, where you can have that in herring and porcini mushrooms, although you probably need to get sun or vitamin D to get enough. You know, iodine can be from eating fish and seaweed. So there's a lot of ways to get these nutrients to help regulate our thyroid. And most of us are insufficient or deficient in these at some level.
Yeah. Yeah. So paying attention to your diet is very important. And again, it tends that when I have patients that are struggling with thyroid, they're also struggling with their nutrition. And they'll tend to have diets that are higher in carbohydrate, higher in processed foods, higher in sugars. They'll have carb cravings, again, because it's related to the host of systemic issues around the adrenal, around gut function, and around carbohydrate metabolism and insulin resistance that can occur.
Okay, that all makes tremendous sense. And then the question for people listening is probably, well, how do I know if I have low thyroid function? What are the symptoms? And then what are the tests that I should get to diagnose it? And is my doctor going to do the right ones, or do I need to go to a functional medicine doctor to figure it out?
Yeah. So the common symptoms are going to be, you're going to feel fatigued. You're going to have potentially weight gain. You're going to have harder bowel movements, maybe constipation. You're going to have potentially, you're going to be depressed. You may have apathy. You're going to experience potential hair loss. Your eyebrows will get thinner at the ends of the eyebrow. You may notice that your nails get a bit harder. Your skin gets drier. Those are some of the common symptoms.
Skin dry, cracked nails, fluid retention, muscle cramps,
headaches,
sex drive, depression,
headaches
memory
in the
loss,
morning that go away.
Fatigue in the morning
brain
is
fog.
A big one.
Yeah.
If you can't get going in the morning, that's a big one.
Yeah.
So all these weird, vague symptoms that you think, oh, this is just like normal aging, or I'm just working too hard, or, you know, these are just little things that don't seem like life-threatening problems, but they are, because we know that people with untreated, even subclinical hypothyroidism, just mild hypothyroidism, have a far higher risk of heart attacks and other serious consequences.
And in the case of Hashi's, it should also be noted that when you first develop Hashimoto's, your thyroid is under attack. And one of the first things it does, it starts releasing an abundance of thyroid hormone. So your initial symptoms, the Hashimoto's,
could be hyper.
Maybe like hyperthyroidism.
Yes.
And then as your disease progresses, even if you're being treated, and probably because you're being treated inappropriately, you're going to experience cycles of hypothyroidism and hyperthyroidism, hypo and hyper, because it will. If you're not paying attention to your diet and you continue eating gluten and other inflammatory foods, that's going to variably trigger your immune system, so that you'll have, you know, you'll trigger your immune system because you've had a, you know, beer and pizza, and then. Now you go on a good diet. I had a bad weekend. I'm going to eat well. And then you find over the next couple of weeks, while you're avoiding gluten, you're avoiding other inflammatory foods, that you feel better. So there's this cyclical behaviors that happen. And I only bring that up because hyperthyroidism and those symptoms can be part of what you experience in Hashi's at the onset, and also throughout the treatment if we don't address these other issues.
And so you can go to the doctor with these symptoms. And what are the tests they're going to do? What's the first test they're going to do?
If you can get them to test your thyroid, right, they're going to check your TSH, which is your thyroid-stimulating hormone, and that's released by the pituitary gland to tell the thyroid to make more thyroid hormone. And if you have low thyroid, then you're going to have very high level of TSH.
That's right. So they just check TSH, or thyroid-stimulating hormone, which is a hormone that comes from your pituitary gland, communicates with your thyroid gland to make hormone. And if your thyroid gland is not working, it's going to create more TSH to try to pump more thyroid out. But we're learning that even what we thought were, quote, normal levels are not optimal.
No.
That even, you know, we thought if you look at the reference range, it's 5. And if it's over 5, they might say, oh, you maybe have a little thyroid issues. Well, we know from the American College of Endocrinology that the reference range should be maybe 3 or 3.5. And I would probably say it should be 1, you know, 1 or 2 at the most. Even over 2, I don't like to see. And then they don't check all the other tests that actually are important. And there are so many other ways that you have to look at the thyroid to understand its true function and what you're dealing with. So what are the other tests we would do at the Center for Functional
Medicine? We would check for a free T3, which is your free thyroid T3.
That's the active T4, hormone.
Active. So when your thyroid makes thyroid hormone, it makes two. It makes makes T4 and it makes T3. T4 is not the active form. It's T3. T4 goes to your body and it's converted in the liver, in the muscles, in the intestine, in the heart to T3. T3 is the active form, and that is then going to enter the cells and have its result, its important impact on in a cellular metabolism. So we check for free T4, free T3, and it's something called reverse T3. Reverse T3 is an active T3, and it acts as a
like a brake.
It's a brake. It's a braking system. And basically, when you, for any reason, you have too much T3, T4 will get converted to reverse T3. And reverse T3 is sort of this inert T3 that won't have any impact. And that sort of is a braking system. And reverse T3 is also a marker for inflammation. It can be elevated when people have significant inflammation.
Inflammation or chronic illness, right. And it can block your thyroid. And so you can look like you have normal levels, but it actually, you're really functionally hypothyroid, even though your other levels may be normal.
Exactly.
And that's something very rarely checked. And then there are antibody levels that we check. Right.
So we check the thyroid peroxidase antibody, and that's the main antibody that we check. It's probably the most sensitive for diagnosing Hashimoto's.
Yeah, so we check the thyroid antibodies, like thyroid peroxidase, antithyroglobulin antibodies. And what I've learned over the years is people can have completely normal TSH, normal T3, normal T4, and they can have sky-high antibodies.
Absolutely.
And most traditional doctors, one, never even bother getting there because unless the TSH is elevated, they don't look. And second is if you have elevated antibodies, it means there's an autoimmune process going on. You better get on it before it gets too far. And often these patients feel much better when they get on thyroid replacement once they start having antibodies. But there's a lot of efforts that people are doing and that there are a lot of efforts that people are doing to try to reverse Hashimoto's and often very successfully in bringing the antibodies down using a more functional medicine approach with diet, lifestyle, the right supplementation and detoxification, hormonal balance, and all the things we're talking about.
Right.
I mean, it's not always that easy, but it's possible. And I think if you get on it early, it's much easier before your thyroid's burned out. So you also want to look at other things, right? You want to look at other tests that reflect your nutritional status, because your right? So what are the kinds of things we'd like measure to see if people are getting the right thyroid nutrients?
Yeah, so we measure a lot we always look at nutritional deficiencies, but specifically the thyroid, we want to look at iodine levels. Sometimes we'll do a spot iodine. A 24-hour urine iodine is usually the best. Then we'll also look at selenium levels. And we'll look at zinc and magnesium levels. Those are the major, and vitamin D. Those are the major nutrients that I will look for when I'm trying to assess whether somebody has the nutrients they need for the thyroid to function.
Yeah, it's super important because, you know, you want to optimize nutrition and you want to make sure you're not doing certain foods that might be a problem. You know, one of the things I've found is that everybody's into these green juices. And they sound like they're great, but you know, if you're juicing a lot of raw kale is has these goitrogens in them that basically can block thyroid function. So kale is great, right. But cooking cruciferous vegetables is good. You don't want to have too much of the raw stuff. There was a woman apparently who heard that you know these cruciferous vegetables were good for her, and she decided to eat 2 pounds of raw bok choy every day. Which is a cruciferous vegetable, is a Chinese vegetable. And she put herself in a hypothyroid coma after eating 2 pounds of raw bok choy a day. So be careful of a lot of those green juices. Soy can also be a goitrogen. Yeah. So you want to be careful if you're eating a ton of soy, but it's really not in the normal amounts you'd eat in your normal diet.
Yeah.
So it's okay. Don't be freaked out about it, but it's really just, you know, don't be juicing kale all day long. So this is really a common issue. It causes a lot of suffering. It's not diagnosed in half the people. If it is diagnosed, it's poorly treated in probably half the people. And even their levels may not be normal because the doctor might not check T3. They might not do
right.
all the full profile of testing to see what's going on. And when you see someone with Hashimoto's, rather than just like slapping them on with, like Synthroid, which is the typical mm-hmm. prescription, you know, what is our approach overall to dealing with this autoimmune condition? And what are the kinds of things we do from a dietary lifestyle point of view? And how do we then do the right supplementation? And then if we need thyroid medication, what do we do?
So to get all that information, I will do some of the tests that we talked about earlier and looking for some of those nutrients, but I'll also do additional testing. As we talked about earlier, we look for leaky gut. We look for dysbiosis in the gut. We look for, you know, potential sources of that inflammation that we were talking about, or potential sources for autoimmunity in the gut that we had talked about earlier. I'll also do hormone testing, because the balance of hormones is very critical for most of the patients that I'm dealing with. So we'll do some advanced hormone testing. We'll also look, and that hormone testing will include adrenal function. And it will include a 4-point salivary cortisol test, so we can know what your cortisol is doing all day long. Hmm. I commonly find in my patients that are coming to me with difficulties treating their thyroid with known Hashimoto's or not known Hashimoto's, that it's just never the thyroid. Mm-hmm. It's always going to involve the gut. It's always involving the adrenal. So we'll do that advanced adrenal testing. And we'll also look to make sure that the hormones are balanced. So we'll do advanced hormonal balance.
We do the testing, but once you do want to start in the treatment with the diet and the lifestyle,
so
what do you do?
So immediately, you know, I definitely will talk to patients about going gluten-free if they're not already gluten-free. I want them to be dairy-free, because casein can also trigger an immune response in some patients as well. Those are going to be critical pieces. Then we really want to work on reducing inflammation. So there's some basic things like, you know, omega-3 fatty acids are very important in reducing inflammation. So we want to make sure that we're doing that to reduce inflammation. I want to really support their detoxification, because that detoxification is really important for getting rid of any excess thyroid hormone that's being built up, because your detoxification system is impacted by your hypothyroidism. Your thyroid does play a role in helping your liver detoxify, get rid of all the toxins that are building up that you're making and all that you're also taking in every day. So I want to support detoxification, and I will do that with N-acetylcysteine, which is a precursor to glutathione. I'll do it with high doses of vitamin D. I'll also do it with glutathione itself. And when I use glutathione, I will typically use it liposomally or as a cream, because it's best absorbed that way.
Yeah.
So those are some of those things I will do.
I think of replacing those minerals, like giving them zinc and selenium, doing it as a multivitamin, giving them fish oil, getting them vitamin D. Just the basic stuff makes such a difference for people.
Huge.
Yeah. And then you can get fancy with some of the other stuff. But I think that, you know, getting people on this elimination diet, an anti-inflammatory diet, and some of these.
One of the things that is, and when you see the elimination diet, is definitely removing, you know, gluten, dairy, corn, soy, egg, yeast, and sometimes even legumes. When we put the patient on that diet, typically within 6 to 8 weeks, they're already feeling better, particularly if we've added some of those other nutrients we know support the thyroid.
That's right. So really, we need a more comprehensive approach.
Absolutely.
You know, I've years ago, I saw so much thyroid issues in my practice, and I saw how poorly it was handled, and I saw how many people were suffering and how many people weren't diagnosed, and they didn't get the right test. They didn't know what to eat. They didn't have the right supplements. And so I actually created this thing called the Ultra Thyroid Solution, which is an online ebook that you can order, and you just Google Ultra Thyroid Solution. And it provides really a roadmap for how do you know what right test to do? How do you know what the symptoms are? How do you know which foods to eat, which nutrients to take? If you need thyroid hormone replacement, what should you take? Do you need just like Synthroid, or should you be taking a combination? Do you need, you know, pig thyroid or free T3 or free T4? What are you doing with the thyroid replacement? So there's a bit of a nuance there.
Yeah, there's a lot. There's so much that we can really, you know, a lot of important offshoots to this conversation. Balancing, I think one of the things that I also focus on is balancing that immune system. So, you know, I mentioned the high dose vitamin D. You know, that is really important for balancing the immune system along with the glutathione and getting your gut healthy and under control. So I really think going back to getting that immune balance is really important. And one of the tests that I do is something called a DIO3, which looks at a gene that is responsible for making the enzyme that converts T3 to T4. Mm. And some people have a gene that doesn't work.
Yeah.
And if you can't convert T3 to T4, then traditional T4 therapy, which is the first line of therapy for hypothyroidism, isn't going to work for you.
That's right.
And that's so great. So that's another test that we do, and it's readily available.
So it's very nuanced, it's very personalized, very specific, and everybody's different. It's not just like one, every you just get Synthroid, that's it, goodbye, we'll see you later. And if you don't feel better, I don't know why.
and that's exactly the message I get from my patients that come to me with thyroid disorder and Hashimoto's, is that they've been told, you're fine, your numbers are normal, everything's okay, and everything's not okay.
That's right. I mean, if you are diagnosed with low thyroid function, if you are taking thyroid replacement and you still don't feel great, you're not crazy.
You're not.
It's just that your doctor may be missing something. And it's really why we do what we do here at the Ultra Wellness Center. It's why we practice functional medicine, because it goes deep, it's personalized, it looks at your whole system and not just one thing. And we treat the whole shebang of everything that can go wrong to get you optimized, including your adrenals, including your sex hormones, including your leaky gut, including environmental toxins, including your nutritional deficiencies, all of which impact your thyroid. And so it's really a really beautiful, elegant approach that you've outlined. And I think, George, you know, we are so lucky to be able to practice here at the Ultra Wellness Center. And we're now seeing people virtually. We can see people from all over the world. You can go to ultrawellnesscenter.com, learn more about what we're doing. But, you know, you don't have to suffer. And I think that's really why we do this work, because so many people suffer needlessly when there are solutions.
Absolutely.
I mean, look, we can't end hunger and war and, you know, end all viruses, which we like to do. But this stuff, we know how to fix, and people don't have to suffer. And it just breaks my heart when I see so many people struggling unnecessarily. And that's really my mission in life, is to sort of end needless suffering.
And I'll tell you, I picked Hashis and thyroid conditions for women are huge. And it's one of the most satisfying conditions I treat, because it's the entree into so many other parts of their health. And we're able to work on things that have frustrated them for so many years. And the functional medicine model does work. And this is a particular disease process that I love to treat in women and see them end their years of frustration and really, you know, reach their optimal health, energy levels, libidos, enjoy their life again.
There you go. It's all about enjoying life. Well, thank you George, for being on the Doctor's Pharmacy.
It's always a pleasure.
If you've struggled with some of these symptoms, with thyroid issues, be sure to take a deep listen to this podcast again. Share with your friends and family on social media. Leave a comment. Tell us how you maybe cured your Hashimoto's. We'd like to learn. And subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. And we'll see you next week on The Doctor's Pharmacy. Hey, everybody, it's Dr. Hyman. Thanks for tuning into The Doctor's Pharmacy. I hope you're loving this podcast. It's one of my favorite things to do, and introducing you all the experts that I know and I love and that I've learned so much from. And I want to tell you about something else I'm doing, which is called Mark's Picks. It's my weekly newsletter. And in it, I share my favorite stuff, from foods to supplements to gadgets to tools to enhance your health. It's all the cool stuff that I use and that my team uses to optimize and enhance our health. And I'd love you to sign up for the weekly newsletter. I'll only send it to you once a week on Fridays. Nothing else, I promise. And all you have to do is go to drhyman.com/picks to sign up. That's drhyman.com/picks, P-I-C-K-S, and sign up for the newsletter. And I'll share with you my favorite stuff that I use to enhance my health and get healthier and better and live younger longer.
Hi, everyone. I hope you enjoyed this week's episode. Just a reminder that this podcast is for educational purposes only. This podcast is not a substitute for professional care by a doctor or other qualified medical professional. This podcast is provided on the understanding that it does not constitute medical or other professional advice or services. If you're looking for help in your journey, seek out a qualified medical practitioner. If you're looking for a functional medicine practitioner, you can visit ifm.org and search their Find a Practitioner database. It's important that you have someone in your corner who's trained, who's a licensed healthcare practitioner, and can help you make changes, especially when it comes to your health.